Welcome to episode 1122 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. As Jacob flees from his home, burdened with fear and uncertainty, he travels alone toward Haran. The weight of his deception, his mother's desperate plan, and his brother Esau's wrath hang over him. With the sun setting, he finds a desolate place to rest, using a stone as a pillow. As he drifts into sleep, God grants him a profound vision, a great ladder or staircase, stretching from earth to heaven, with angels ascending and descending upon it. This imagery is striking, symbolizing the connection between heaven and earth, a divine link between God and humanity. Unlike the Tower of Babel, where men sought to reach the heavens through human effort, this ladder is established by God himself, revealing his initiative in reaching down to his people. The sight must have been overwhelming. Heavenly messengers constantly moving, carrying out divine assignments, showing that God is active even when Jacob feels alone. At the top of the ladder stands the Lord, and he speaks directly to Jacob.
I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying.
The words echo the covenant made with Abraham, confirming that despite Jacob's recent deception, God's promises remain. God assures Jacob that his offspring will be as numerous as the dust of the earth, spreading to the north, south, east, and west. More than just territorial expansion, this blessing signifies the fulfillment of God's greater plan, that through Jacob's lineage, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. It is a direct confirmation that Jacob, not Esau, is the chosen recipient of the covenant. But God's message does not end with promises of land and descendants. He offers something even more personal.
Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you.
These words must have been a great comfort to Jacob, who is leaving everything behind with no certainty about his future. He is not just running from Esau. He is running toward an unknown life. Yet, here, God reassures him that he is not alone. The same God who watched over Abraham and Isaac is now watching over Jacob. This vision is significant for several reasons. First, it marks a turning point in Jacob's spiritual journey. Up to this point, Jacob has been defined by his cunning and self-reliance. But here he encounters God directly. The imagery of the ladder suggests a connection between heaven and earth, symbolizing divine access and the ongoing relationship between God and his people. Some Jewish traditions interpret this as a moment of Jacob's calling, an assurance that despite his mistakes, he is still chosen. In Christian theology, this vision is later echoed in John chapter 1, verse 51, where Jesus tells Nathanael,
"You will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
This interpretation suggests Jesus himself is the bridge between heaven and earth, fulfilling the promise made to Jacob. As Jacob awakens, the weight of the vision settles upon him. The barren land that once seemed empty now feels sacred, filled with God's presence. Overwhelmed, he exclaims,
"Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it."
What was once just an ordinary resting spot has become Bethel, the house of God, a reminder that God's presence is not confined to a temple, an altar, or a familiar land. He is with Jacob everywhere, even in exile. This moment of realization speaks to the often overlooked presence of God in our own lives. We may not always recognize where he is leading us, but he is always near. Jacob rises early in the morning and sets up a stone pillar as a memorial, anointing it with oil and naming the place Bethel, meaning House of God. This act of dedication signifies his recognition of the sacredness of this encounter. However, Jacob also makes a conditional vow.
"If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God."
Jacob's vow is notable because it reveals a faith still in progress. Unlike Abraham's immediate and unconditional faith, Jacob still negotiates with God. He does not yet fully surrender, but this marks the beginning of his transformation. In Jewish tradition, this moment is seen as the foundation of Jacob's eventual deep relationship with God, which will mature over the years. Jacob's journey does not end at Bethel. Rather, it is only the beginning of a long and arduous path toward spiritual maturity. He arrives in Haran, the land of his mother's family, weary yet hopeful. He soon encounters Rachel at a well, and in a dramatic moment, he rolls away the stone and waters her flock. It is love at first sight. Jacob is welcomed into the household of his uncle Laban, but his trials are far from over. His exile, initially meant as a temporary refuge, stretches into 20 years of labor, deception, and struggle, shaping him into the man who will eventually become Israel. Jacob, eager to marry Rachel, agrees to work for Laban for 7 years. His love for her is so deep that the years seem like only a few days to him. But on his wedding night, Laban deceives him, giving him Leah instead of Rachel. The trickery is strikingly similar to Jacob's own deception of Isaac. In this moment, Jacob experiences the pain of being on the receiving end of manipulation. Laban justifies his actions by claiming it is not customary to marry off the younger daughter before the elder, but his dishonesty reveals his own self-interest. Jacob, who once outwitted Esau and Isaac, now finds himself deceived by a more cunning man. Yet, instead of fighting back, he submits to another 7 years of labor for Rachel, learning the hard lesson that deception breeds consequences. This tangled web of relationships only grows more complicated. Leah, though unloved, is blessed with children, while Rachel, the wife Jacob loves, remains barren. This dynamic creates rivalry, resentment, and heartache. Leah names her first son Reuben, saying,
"Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me."
This statement reveals her deep longing for Jacob's affection. Yet, despite bearing him multiple sons, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Jacob's love remains fixed on Rachel. Meanwhile, Rachel, in her desperation, gives her maid Bilhah to Jacob as a surrogate, just as Sarah once did with Hagar. Bilhah bears Dan and Naphtali, and Leah responds by offering her own maid, Zilpah, who bears Gad and Asher. The competition between the sisters escalates, with Leah eventually conceiving two more sons, Issachar and Zebulun, as well as a daughter, Dinah. Rachel's pain continues until God finally remembers her, and she conceives a son, Joseph. His birth marks a turning point, not only in Rachel's life, but in Jacob's future, as Joseph will play a crucial role in the unfolding of God's plan. Through the years of rivalry, deception, and personal struggles, God is at work, building the foundation of the 12 tribes of Israel. What seems like chaos is, in fact, divine orchestration. The conflicts in Jacob's family reflect the brokenness of human relationships, yet God's hand remains steady, guiding his purposes forward.
The little black ewe is trying to escape from the fold. Go quickly and fetch it, and when you're back, help me patch the hole.
Jacob's years of labor in Haran remind us that building a family, maintaining relationships, and navigating life's trials are never easy.
That's it, you've got it.
Like Jacob, we may experience seasons where we feel trapped in cycles of conflict, disappointment, or hardship. We may face deception, unexpected struggles, and deep longing. Yet through it all, God is present. Even in difficult circumstances, He is shaping our character, refining our faith, and preparing us for what is to come. Jacob's story reminds us that while we may not always understand God's timing or methods, we can trust that He is working all things together for His ultimate plan. Whether in love, family struggles, or personal trials, God's provision remains constant, turning even our messiest situations into something meaningful. Jacob's journey from Bethel to Haran, and his years of labor under Laban, reveal the complexities of relationships, the weight of past mistakes, and the way God works through even the most difficult seasons of life. At Bethel, God gives Jacob a powerful vision, reminding him of his omniscience. But as Jacob enters Haran, he soon finds himself entangled in a web of deception and hardship. Marrying two sisters, enduring family tensions, and serving Laban under increasingly unfair conditions. Yet, despite these struggles, God remains faithful, blessing Jacob with a large family and increasing his prosperity. Through it all, Jacob grows in faith and maturity, learning God's promises do not require manipulation, only trust. The conflicts in Jacob's family remind us relationships are often messy, yet they do not prevent God's plan from unfolding. Leah longs for love, Rachel battles infertility, and Jacob wrestles with the consequences of his choices. But even in the midst of brokenness, God is at work, building the 12 tribes of Israel, fulfilling his covenant, and transforming Jacob into the man he has called him to be. Just as God provides for Jacob, he also provides for us, teaching us patience, perseverance, and faith in his timing. Jacob's years in Haran teach us that while waiting on God can be difficult, his faithfulness never wavers. Whether we find ourselves struggling in family conflicts, facing setbacks, or enduring seasons of hardship, God is still present, shaping our character and guiding us toward his promises. Like Jacob, we may not always understand why our journey takes unexpected turns, but we can trust that God is working for our good. In every trial, He is refining us, drawing us closer to Him, and preparing us for the blessings ahead. Father, thank you for being present with us in every season, just as you were with Jacob in his journey from Bethel to Haran. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.